Welcome, everyone, to this week's edition of the Commercial Real Estate 101 Meetup Group. For those of you guys who are tuning in for the first time, we started this group back in April of 2020 to kind of become the watering hole of commercial real estate content. And ever since then, we've had a lot of great speakers and guests come on to talk about a variety of different commercial real estate topics. And today, I'm really excited to introduce Mo, who's going to be we're going to be talking about commercial real estate social media. And kind of as a side note, a little bit offline, we actually were in the same city for the same time and we didn't even know, but it's amazing that it's a small town in Southern Arizona. But it's really cool to hear that you have that experience as well. So we do have a connection point there.
Yeah, it was actually pretty interesting because most of the time when you tell people Sierra Vista, they have no idea what you're talking about. I'm like, okay, you know where Tucson is? Go 120 miles southeast of Tucson. And they're like, wow, that's really south. I'm like, yeah, it is.
Yeah. Yeah, the same thing. Every time I say Sierra Vista, they're like, where? And I'm like, it's an hour and change south of Tucson. And they're like, yeah. Oh, okay. So you're like near the border. I'm like, yeah, it's like 20, 30 minutes away from the border. But
yeah, it's gorgeous out there, though. So I do miss it. I do miss, people don't understand when you have like a monsoon come through and it just, there's a wall of water that you can watch throughout the valley. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, for sure. I was there, like I had mentioned, between 8th grade and 12th grade. And, you know, it was a very formative time in my life. So I definitely credit a lot of who I am to being in Sierra Vista. And I met some of my best friends. And to this day, I still keep in touch with them. So it's really cool to hear that you had a similar type of experience. So as far as the conversation topic for today, I was really excited to have you on. I know a lot of people nowadays are becoming more aware of the fact that social media is playing a huge part of, you know, who we are as business professionals. I mean, you know, obviously, if you're not on social, you know, you're probably going to be left behind at some point in the near future. And so one of the things I wanted to talk about was obviously focused on the social media side. But before we do that, I kind of wanted to give the audience a little bit of an understanding of who you are. You know, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm a little Mexican in a box. No, I'm just kidding. Everyone, I'm Mo Regalado. I run Movo Media Marketing. We do social media for busy commercial real estate professionals. I help people do brand strategy and figure out what they're going to say and how they're going to say it on social.
That's amazing. Yeah, I know. And you started back in, believe, 2017, you'd mentioned before. And before then, you were in radio. So you have a really unique background. I kind of was hoping you could elaborate a little bit on that, too, because it will, I'm sure, play into some of the ways that you approach the process. So,
yeah. So I actually got my start in broadcasting in 2004. At Cherry Creek Radio in Sierra Vista, Arizona. I became news director and we actually started dabbling in social on MySpace back then, which is so funny because it's just like, you know, it was like 2005, 2006 when we started doing stuff like that. You know, Facebook wasn't a thing for us because we're old and not cool. And so started back then and have just kind of grown since then. In 2012, I took a position with an arts nonprofit in Northwest Minnesota. So I've been all around the United States and worked with them using, helping them with their website development, as well as doing their social media. Got into radio again there and started working the station's pages and then started my own. I listened to Gary Vaynerchuk. I had my own show. And so I started doing that and working what he was saying. I was, you know, using, and I grew my audience and then got a phone call out of the blue from a station in Grand Forks, North Dakota, asking me if I wanted to become their assistant program director. And I was just like, sure, why not? And so became assistant program director there, then moved to Washington State, where I took a full-time job doing social media. So, and that's kind of where everything is, you know, I've learned along the way and helped the company that I moved to work with. When I took over their Facebook page, they had 821,000 followers and we grew to 1 million in like 9 months and really helped them establish their brand voice. They didn't really have one before. And so we had a lot of fun. It was a great time. Learned a lot about kind of, you know, just how Facebook was the big thing, how Facebook was working, and we did a lot on Twitter. So yeah. I've been using that ever since.
Absolutely. And I'm sure that the media experiences, particularly on the radio side, has been invaluable because, you know, obviously you have to find ways to be able to engage people. You have to be able to, you know, like you said, you know, being able to connect with them from a brand standpoint, because, you know, they have to really associate hearing you and your voice and whatever else with what you do. And so I'm sure it's definitely helped you along the way as you've progressed in your career. I mean, one of the things I'm kind of curious about is you had mentioned you were doing full-time radio. You were associating the programming side. You know, what was the natural progression into social media and understanding that side? Was it just kind of helping in that capacity in your previous roles? And then you said, well, this is actually a pretty unique opportunity. And I can see the value of being able to provide this service to the marketplace. Like, what was that logical progression into just doing social media full-time?
The progression was, well, one, radio doesn't pay. So whoever's listening, radio is like, yeah, bottom of the barrel. And literally somebody has to die before you move up. So radio was kind of a dead end. No pun intended. But, you know, I was running the social media on the stations, and it's really all about that community building. So you're taking what you're doing on radio, which is connecting with people. I joke. So let me preface this. I joke about being a little Mexican in a box, because when I was on air, my personality is very bubbly, very like, I'm excited to be here. I'm going to tell you about the news. I'm going to talk about the weather. I'm going to talk about my kids, bring you into my life. And it's the same when you're on the computer. You have to bring people into your world so that they become that person that wants to be like interact with you. You have to be able to show your personality. And so being able to take what I've learned in radio and apply it to social media was just like, it was like a no-brainer for me, right? Because I was already starting or already knew how to build that interaction and get that response. And so, yeah, I decided that, well, one, we wanted to move out of Northwest Minnesota. And so an opportunity came, and I took it and jumped in full time in social. So that's how that progression happened. But really, it has to do with the fact that you are building a community, whether you're in a little studio talking to yourself or you're in front of a computer talking to yourself.
That's amazing. Yeah. And I really appreciate the fact that you're true to the way that you are, because I think that people read authenticity. And so, you know, if your personality, like you said, is bubbly and that's who you are to your core, show that. Don't try to form fit to something that you're not, because people read that. And so I think, you know, I take a similar approach in that, you know, I'm not necessarily like a comedic type of person. Some people make funny videos and stuff like that. I deem myself somewhat funny, but I'm not a comedic, I'm a comedian. So when I take my approach, it's much more educational, because that's just how that feels most comfortable for me. And as a result, I've attracted those individuals who value that type of educational approach. And so, you know, kind of like you said, like speaking true to yourself obviously helps you attract the people who are ultimately going to be the ones that engage with you long term. So,
right. And it's also a matter of being aware of who you are. Mm-hmm. I don't ever want to meet somebody and they think I'm somebody different. And I tell people, I'm like, I'm obnoxious. I'm loud. I don't have a problem with that. Like, that's my personality. I laugh loud. I talk loud. I talk with my hands. You know, everything about me is just kind of this whirlwind of energy. And I hope that that's what people recognize when they read my writing. I'm very snarky, and I realize that in my writing. Like, I am, you know, I will poke fun as much as I can. And I'm willing to take the teasing back as well. So you have to be just fully aware of who you are.
Definitely. No, I couldn't agree more. And so one of the things that I wanted to explore was, back in 2017, you decided, you know what, I'm going to take this leap of faith and start this social media marketing company. And you started that process. And along the way, you started really, I mean, tailoring yourself to the commercial real estate industry, which is very interesting. You work with some of the top names in the industry, and you've done a phenomenal job building their brands. I mean, I guess one of my main questions is, you know, what are some of the differences between those professionals who are in another industry versus commercial real estate? Are there any, I guess, intricacies that maybe are specific to commercial real estate than to other businesses, or is it kind of just, you know, similar in that regard?
So the similarities are, you're always trying to build a community and you're trying to create a tone or a personality that people can relate to. We want that relatability. We want to be able to interact and connect, whether, you know, whether it's a brand or the person behind the brand. So that doesn't change. What changes with commercial real estate is, you know, how do you make industrial sexy? Like, like, how do you make it interesting? So you make it interesting by, and this goes for any, you know, asset classes, is that you tell a story. You have to be able to tell the story behind it. And that's what's going to make it interesting or sexy or whatever you want to call it, so that people actually get invested in what you're saying. Like, oh, so-and-so just posted this about this building. I drive by that building every day and had no idea that that's what that was. That's really cool. Like, thank you for sharing that with me. When it comes to, you know, obviously products are different than, you know, selling a building or, you know, just building your own brand. So I think that would be the difference would be, you know, how do you make it interesting when it's a warehouse or it's, it's multifamily. You're like, okay, hey, we've got multifamily. Yay. You know?
Yeah. And I agree with you. I mean, there's definitely certain, you know, that's one of the things that people rack their brains around is like, how can I kind of stand out in the marketplace? And you, I mean, obviously credit to you, you worked with, like I said, several, big professionals within the commercial real estate space. And I've seen some of the content that's being produced from them. And one being, I know Bob Knackle, we've had on the podcast before, you know, you guys do a great job of creating the before and after pictures where it's like, hey, this used to be this, and this is the story behind why this changed to what it is today. And I read those and I find those extremely fascinating. And obviously that's helped build some engagement. And that's just one example. I'm sure there's many others that you can speak to where you've kind of taken something that, you know, like you said, historically it's not necessarily the most quote unquote sexy, but you can then tailor it into something that people can engage with and really, really connect with.
You have to think about what is the end user going to get from this? It kind of goes with like website design, like, you know, how easy is it for this user to actually interact with the website? What is the design that we need to work on? And so I'm not a web developer. I've worked with them and they're amazing. But that's kind of the idea. Like when you're testing a website, it's like, okay, this doesn't click or this doesn't go. Think about your storytelling kind of like that. Like, where's the framework? How are people going to interact? What is the point? And I tell all of my clients, you know, we're always going for global domination. That's it. Like when somebody thinks of you in your industry, in your city, you should be top of mind. It should not be anybody else. So it's always global domination. That's the end goal.
That's amazing. So, you know, regarding global domination, which is awesome. I love the energy there. So, you know, obviously there's so many different social media platforms out there. And, you know, one of the things that I hear a lot of people say is like, how do you keep up with all these different platforms and which one should I really be focusing my attention on as a commercial real estate professional? So I guess as far as that goes, would you be able to speak to maybe the effectiveness of certain platforms and maybe, you know, the target audience for each one?
Sure. So when it comes to platforms and what I tell my clients and anybody who consults with me is, what platform do you enjoy being on? It's as simple as that. If you enjoy being on Facebook, and yes, I'm saying Facebook, do not sleep on Facebook, people. There's so much you can do in Facebook groups that it blows my mind. Like there are so specific groups that you could be actively involved in and getting your name out there in front of your target audience, and people are just sleeping on it. So if you had to take one tip today, go explore Facebook groups and see, like, if you're in industrial in Georgia, see what's happening in those community groups in your area and find out what's happening. And the other tip, all social media is a search engine. Flat out. TikTok is like, actually, I believe has surpassed Google in searches for items, for topics. People are on there and they're using it as a search engine. Use every single social platform as a search engine. So when you're on Facebook and you're looking for community groups, definitely go look for your area, your industry, and see what's happening in there. So that's one of the tips. But again, what platform are you interested in? Do you love LinkedIn? Do you love interacting? Then be on LinkedIn. Are you a fanatic on TikTok and you're okay and you're comfortable making videos? be on TikTok. If you love Instagram and you're in retail leasing, and we see this with Beth Azor all the time, she is in her DMs constantly. That's how she prospects. That's, you know, she goes and she will find the uses that she needs on Instagram, connects with them that way, and then goes and canvasses them. So it's whatever platform you're most comfortable with. The demographics are changing. They really are. So TikTok, everybody thought, oh, that's just a kids platform. Nope. Think like the demographic right now is like 35 to 54. Like that's wild. Mm-hmm. That is the like the main demographic on there. And no, not everybody's dancing. Yes, sometimes you're going to see that, but not everybody's dancing. Like, you know, I dance like Elaine from Seinfeld. So, you know, like I'm not going to be dancing on TikTok, but I do social media tips. I also just rant on TikTok. That's kind of one of my things. If you're on Twitter or X, however, whatever you want to call it these days, actively engage on that platform. And be involved with other people that are in your industry. So that's my two cents on that's what amazing platform to be on.
Yeah. And I think the vein that you can extract from that is regardless of what platform you're on is consistency, is actually just doing something on a regular basis. And, you know, you can do it daily. And obviously if you can commit to that level of cadence, then you do it daily. But even if you do it a couple times a week, it's still something that puts you out there. And hopefully over time, you continue to build that brand. You know, that's kind of the piece of advice that I've shared with people. But I was always wanted to kind of gain your take on it, obviously, as the expert in the space. And then also related to Facebook groups, I'll echo that sentiment. We've done deals on Facebook groups where we have a listing or we're saying, hey, we're looking for this building. And we throw it into like a local, you know, city Facebook group and say, hey, you know, this is what we have. And we've had people that have approached us and we've gotten deals done with them as well. So like you said, don't sleep on Facebook. Don't sleep on any platform, really. I mean, there's power in the platforms if you do leverage them properly. So,
and that's the key. So you said a couple of things. So leverage it properly. And then consistency is key. Consistency is always key. You want to, you know, I always laugh because I'm on Instagram and of course there's all these, I follow social media people on Instagram. That's my, you know, that's my feed. And I'll see some of these newer people like, oh, you need to post at this time. And I'm like, I live in Spokane, Washington. I'm on the Pacific Coast. Okay. Like you're saying 6 o'clock, you're on the East Coast. Is that like 3 o'clock my time? What time is it? Forget times. Forget all of that. Just post consistently. If you're going to post at 3 o'clock in the morning every Monday, Thursday, and Saturday, do it at 3 o'clock in the morning on those days. You're teaching the algorithm that you're going to be producing content at that time. And then after you produce the content, actively engage. Actively engage with people who are commenting on your content and actively engage on OPP, other people's posts.
Amazing. Great advice. So, you know, that kind of leads us to one of my next questions was related to, you know, I get reached out a lot from people that are also established in the industry, but a lot of the people that reach out and listen to this podcast are kind of newer in the space. I mean, the name of the podcast is Commercial Real Estate 101. So we do attract a lot of people who are in those early years in their commercial real estate career. Some obviously have leveraged social media effectively. Others are still trying to gain a foothold and kind of establish that brand within the marketplace. So for newer agents who are listening, you know, what would be some of your pieces of advice for those who are just trying to, like you said, create that brand and really establish themselves in the marketplace?
Well, one very first thing, make sure that you are within your guidelines for whatever company you are working for. That's, you know, one of the questions I ask people when I start working with them is like, okay, you work with so-and-so, what are your social media policies? You know, what are the guidelines? And I get a lot of times, I don't know. Okay, well, you need to go find that policy and share it with me so we can make sure that we're staying within those guidelines. So that's the very first thing you need to do. Second thing is establish who you're talking to. It's very simple. I mean, this is kind of like marketing 101. Who's your avatar? Who are the people that you are creating content for? And then the next thing is that it can't be me all the time. It has to be about who your avatar is, addressing their pain points without actually saying this is a pain point, and taking them on a journey, like a story, and helping them see that, you know, I'm your trusted advisor. I'm the person that can help you through this. Now, let me back up. It shouldn't always be me, 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 but your personality needs to shine within those posts, and sharing your personal story is fine. If you had, you know, for example, I have no problem sharing personal stories. My husband and I were supposed to go to Les Miserables on Tuesday night. We couldn't because he had a severe allergic reaction to duck eggs, and we ended up in the ER. So I share that story on LinkedIn and on Twitter, not because like I'm looking for attention, but it's just like, I had no idea that you could like be allergic and it was a bad allergy reaction. I mean, we made dark, you know, dark humor coping about like his life insurance policy. And he was like, you are this close to being a millionaire. And so I like, you know, those are, I share that story just to say like, hey, I'm thankful for certain things. And that you never know like what you're going to be allergic to. And so I'm very comfortable sharing personal content. When you're working for a company, you have to, you know, you have to temper that. How personal do you want to get? And does it go against your, you know, does it go against the company's guidelines?
Definitely. No, I couldn't agree more. And kind of to that personal vein, like extracting stories from your past that could potentially be useful to people that you're trying to serve. I mean, I started a small catering company in college called Pasticity, which was a pasta catering service. So I made pasta and all these different sauces.
That's awesome.
And we used to sell to a bunch of different student organizations. We did some corporate lunches as well. So, and then after college, I managed a restaurant for a little while as well. So, you know, I constantly use those experiences when I'm talking to my retail clients. I do a lot of retail. And so it's like a connection point between me and the business owner, because it's like, hey, I have a lot of restaurant experience myself. I was a busser. I've served. I had my own little catering company. So I know the struggles that are associated with that vertical. And so it makes it so that I can build those strong relationships with people very early on in the process. And so, you know, even if you don't necessarily have that experience, maybe there's many people out there. My first job was busing at Chili's, right? That could be an experience you draw on if you're focusing on retail clients, or if you worked in a retail store and, you know, you can draw upon that experience. You know, there's so many different things. And I feel like when I've talked to a lot of younger professionals, they say, well, what do I have to offer? It's like, you have a lot to offer. And especially as you're starting to learn through the process, kind of learning about the industry, you know, document the learning about the industry. You talk about Gary Vaynerchuk. I mean, that's kind of what he preaches, is like, you know, document, document, document. So I don't know if you would share that advice.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. And sorry for interrupting you. I apologize for that. If you look at any of Bob Knackle's content, like that man documented everything. Like everything. And so it's super funny because it's just, you know, it's, I tease him that he, you know, he was making content before content making was cool, but he and, you know, Paul Massey were, they had newsletters. They had, you know, they had, when email came out, they were using emails. I mean, and he documented everything. He has file boxes of stuff that he can pull from now and share with this audience that is just eating up whatever he puts out. So it's pretty amazing. So think about that document process. The other thing is, like, especially for newer agents, you're far more comfortable with social media because you grew up with it. You're far more comfortable with technology because you grew up with it. The advantage for them, hello, your phone, pick up your phone, record yourself. Like, talk about like, hey, you know, you have a phone that has a great camera. It has, you know, great audio. Talk about your day. Like, it doesn't seem like it would be that fascinating, but for somebody who doesn't know you, that's how you're making that connection. Like, I got into work at 6 and this was my day. You could even just do a voiceover as you do small clips throughout the day, like a day in the life of a new broker.
Yeah. No, I agree. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, that I couldn't agree more with you. I think that is a phenomenal piece of advice. And I think the one of the hardest parts a lot of times when you first start creating content is you feel like you're not, you know, that good at it. And you probably won't be, right? Like, when, you know, if you look back, I'm sure if you look back at some of your earlier stuff, you're like, man, like, you know, I wasn't quite where I was at today. And so it takes a little while to get over that hump. But I'm telling you, over time, you just become better anything you do many, many times over and over and over again, you're going to get better at it. So it's just one of those things where kind of push through that initial hurdle. And then over time, you'll eventually not even think about it. You'll just kind of do it as part of your daily routine.
One of the things too, is that people get stuck on it if it has to be perfect, and it doesn't have to be perfect. I mean, that if that was one thing that I learned from radio is, and especially when you're live, there's no take backs. Like if you say something and it goes out live on air, it goes out live on air and that's it. Like you're not able to pull that back. And even when we did voice tracking, I left all my mistakes in because it sounded like I was right there in the studio talking to that person, even though I recorded it 2 hours before. So when I do my recording, like you'll see me flub up my words. You will see me like, I'll like look at myself in the camera and I'm like, oh God, what is going on here? Oh, and then I'll start talking, right? Like, it's like, oh, what is this? And then, you know, starting to talk like I would be talking to a friend. So don't worry about the mistakes. Don't try to make it perfect. Because if you try to make it perfect, you're never going to post anything.
Absolutely. And that plays to the realness of it, right? I mean, I think that people respect those individuals who, you know, again, you just put it out there and people do tend to connect with someone who is very real on camera or really even real on posting in general. So right. I appreciate that feedback. One of the things that I think would be also be valuable to kind of explore is that we also have a lot of people on the podcast that listen that are way more established in their career. So maybe they've been in the business 5, 10, 15, 20 years and they've done well for themselves, right? They've had a lucrative career. They are, you know, established in the marketplace, but they're looking to kind of take their business to the next level. And they think that social media can be a good part of way to be able to parlay that. So what are some of the things that you typically talk about with those individuals who, you know, again, they have the established network, they have their book of business, but they kind of want to take that next step.
We talk about content pillars. I don't think enough people understand what that is. And those content pillars are those things that you can speak about with no problem. One of the questions I ask when I'm onboarding clients is, if somebody were to come up to you and ask you to go speak on stage for 5 minutes without you, you know, prepping, what are those things that you could talk about? Because a lot of times I'll get, well, I don't know. I'm not interesting. Okay. What do you know? What can you go talk about? Oh, well, I could talk about this. And then they start just rattling off a list of things, like say a guy's an expert in 1031 exchanges, or, you know, he or she is an expert in, you know, doing bankruptcy cases for, you know, real estate or whatever. Okay, then let's talk about those things. That is your area of expertise. You want to share what you know. You want to be personable with the people that are reading your content, and you want them to get to know you so that when they are thinking 1031 exchanges or I need a bankruptcy lawyer for this, immediately you're top of mind. It's not anybody else. They don't have to search. This is the person I'm going to go to.
That's great advice. And you kind of even referenced earlier on with Bob Knackel and others who are a little bit more established in their career. I mean, you have a lot of experience to draw on. So I'm assuming you also can kind of dig through all the documents and say, oh, well, what about this deal that you guys did? Or what about this? Or what about that? I mean, there's so much more to work with that they can just go back to and say, oh, yeah, maybe we can incorporate something into the rhetoric that you've done just over the last few years, just having done so many deals in the past. And so, you know, again, I think more so than anything, it's just an opportunity for those who are listening to this, that are more established in their career. I would imagine there's going to be a lot of value in leveraging social media to kind of amplify what you're already doing.
Right. One of the challenges that a lot of established folks, they express to me is, well, I don't want so-and-so going and stealing my client. Okay, I understand that. I get that. But if you have a relationship with them, they're not going to steal your client. And you're not going to give away your secret sauce, because there is no secret sauce. Everybody, like, y'all are doing the same thing. Like, it's literally the same thing. It's just for a different company. You might do it a little different, but it's the same thing. And so getting out of that mindset of like, they're going to go steal my clients or they're going to go steal my secret sauce. You're, first of all, you're putting a lot on other people who are like inherently lazy. Like everybody's inherently lazy. And if it's going to take work, we're going to choose the path of least resistance. So let's get out of that mindset. And you don't have to share the nitty gritty details of a deal. However, you can share what you learned. You can share what, you know, Bob calls it a cart. Rod Santomassimo calls it a cart. It's a challenge, action, result, and testimonial. You can share the idea around it. What was the challenge? What action did you take as a broker, as an advisor? What was the result? And did you get a testimonial? So there's so much that can be shared. You just have to frame it differently so that you're not giving away everything. But again, if you're so worried about somebody stealing your client, then you have not established a good relationship with them.
Yeah, no. And I love that the fact you shared that, because I feel like oftentimes what ends up happening, and the reason why people don't share more on different platforms, is that mindset where it's like, you know, they have a fear mindset about what other people think about them, or they have a scarcity mindset where they say, okay, well, I'm going to give away, you know, all this value that I have, like that's reserved just for my clients. But what they fail to understand is that, you know, life, in my opinion, is about abundance. It's like you share as much as you can with the world, and reciprocity naturally follows. So even if you give away, quote unquote, the secret sauce, as much, I mean, obviously there's certain things I'm sure that you want to keep hidden for, you know, paid clients or whatever else. But if you give away more than you would expect to the world, I mean, it's amazing what actually comes back towards you, because then people see you as an expert. People see you as someone who is genuine and someone who's actually giving a lot to the marketplace. And then they're like, hey, I want to work with that gal, or I want to work with that guy to be able to help me find or do whatever. So I think
it's funny because you know, I've actually written blog posts about this, or I've written about this on LinkedIn. It's like, why do you tell people everything, like how you do things? Like, because I know that, you know, 98% of you are not ever going to do what I'm saying to do, because it's work. And if you have to waste brain cells to do it, you're not going to do it. Mm-hmm. And so that's just kind of, you know, it's like, don't stress about those things. If that's your biggest concern, then we've got other things to talk about, right? Like we need to kind of work on maybe we need some therapy, maybe, you know.
I agree. I mean, that is great advice. I mean, because I write a lot, so I've written several books on commercial real estate, and one of my all my books talk about how to do the step-by-step process of how to do things. And people have always asked me, like, why do you do that? I'm like, well, if I could teach someone how to do it, then they a lot of people don't want to have to deal with it. So even if you're a business owner and you read the book and it's really helpful and you could, in theory, go out there and do it yourself, why would you do that when you can go to someone who's already written the book on it and that could actually help you through the process? You've got your own stuff going on in your business. You don't have to deal with this additional layer of complexity that's a lot associated with it. So that's a mindset shift, I think, that needs to be taken into consideration with people, especially when they're pursuing an endeavor where it's going to be public facing. So.
Exactly. I think it's just you're right. It is a mindset shift. It's why we have self-help gurus. You know, they're never going to go out of business, because people, you know, they can go to five different coaches or five different people to help them out, and it might finally be the sixth one that they go to where it finally clicks. So yep. It's totally dependent on what you want to do. But I think being able to, and being willing to give away some of the stuff is paramount to your success.
That's awesome advice. So we have one more question before we open up to Q&A. We do have quite a few people here on the Zoom call and LinkedIn Live, so we want to be able to give you an opportunity to ask your questions. But in the meantime, I was kind of curious. So what are some of the best resources out there for those who want to kind of learn how to you know, establish a presence on social media? Do you have any publications or YouTube channels or anything that you think would be resources that you should check out and kind of follow on a regular basis?
Yeah. So if you want to get, like, if you want to learn Facebook and Instagram, Facebook Blueprint is free. You can get certified in it, but I think it's like $100. You don't have to get certified in it, but it's best to learn from the actual platform itself, what they are expecting and what their best practices are. HubSpot is a fantastic resource for, I know a lot of people use HubSpot for like CRM. Before I knew that they were CRM, I would use them for like courses on learning how to do certain things on social. So they have a bunch of stuff there. Social Media Examiner is another great resource. They're always up on industry news. Matt Navarra, the Social Media Geek Out on Facebook, he is amazing, always has brand new stuff. Gary Vaynerchuk, my guy, I love him. He was the reason why I was able doing what he said is how I built my radio show and being active on social and creating that conversation outside of being in the studio. And I've been able to take my radio career and what he said on social and now parlay it into a business. So that's, you know, that's basically what happened. But always great information. Listen to what he has to say. Read his book, Jab, 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 Right Hook. He has a new book coming out that is kind of based off of that, but updated. So I'm sure if you've been on Instagram or anywhere else, you've probably seen the ad for that. Who else can I think that's about like, I could probably, Chelsea Pites is amazing on Instagram. She does great stuff for companies and businesses on Instagram. Who else can I think of? I don't know. I think that's
Mo,
it.
Mo. Just kidding.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Me.
Yeah, you. That's awesome. No, I know. I appreciate the feedback, and that's a lot of great, great content and people can follow online. Cause I feel like a lot of times, like you said, you know, maybe someone associates with one person over another. You could hear the message five different ways, but then there's that sixth person who says it and it just kind of clicks with you. And it's amazing how that all works out. For me, I remember reading the Compound Effect by Darren Hardy. And I tell people all the time, like that's what changed my life, because I realized, oh, wait, all I have to do is like a couple things a day and then it compounds over time. And then 5 years later, you look back and you're like, oh, wow, that you've created something of significance. So, you know, it just depends on the type of person that you are and who you listen to. And over time, if something hits, it hits. So that's awesome. All right. Yeah. So, well, let's go ahead and open up to Q&A. So if you guys don't mind, if you guys are in Zoom, go ahead and type away in the chat box. If you guys are watching this on LinkedIn, go ahead and type away as well. We want to make sure we answer all the questions that you guys may have, and Mo will be able to answer them right now.
Hopefully.
No, you will. I'm confident. And in the meantime, I guess, is there a particular question that maybe, you know, you wish I would have asked you that I wasn't able to get to today?
Or maybe like a frequently
asked question that you were like, man, like this is something that almost everyone that I talk to before I get started with them ask me that maybe is, you know, worth sharing.
Yeah, actually. So I just came across some interesting stats that one of the guys that I connect with, I've actually connected with him through the Social Media Geek Out. His name is Dynamitri. He's amazing. You can find him on LinkedIn. He does social media as well. So I'm kind of giving him a shout out. He posted on one of his posts today. So it had to do with like, if you're not getting traction on LinkedIn, like stop freaking out. And he gave these stats: 25% of LinkedIn posts receive zero likes or interaction. 14% receive one, and less than 50% get between 1 and 10 reactions. And 71% of all LinkedIn posts get zero comments. So if you are feeling like your content isn't hitting, you are in good company, because we are all there with you. So just be consistent as you are posting, particularly on LinkedIn, and make sure that you are engaging, actively engaging with other people's posts. That's going to help your content spread to a wider audience. But yeah, his name is Dynamitri. Check him out. He's on LinkedIn, and he is a wealth of information on stats and social media.
That's amazing. I couldn't agree more. And the advice that you have related to just being consistent about it, even when you don't see results right away, I mean, it could take you a year before you start seeing some sizable results that ultimately lead to you getting a more established brand. So James, hey, James, good seeing you again. He said, how do you engage with folks that comment on your LinkedIn posts. I struggle to say things beyond thanks for the comment. That's a good point.
You could always ask a question. That's always available. Always ask a question. What did you find interesting about this post? Or, hey, it's really interesting that you share this with me. Can you tell me more about it? So get that conversation going by just asking a question. And yes, it's even though thanks for the comment, you're like, oh God, how do I say this differently? Thank you so much. Thank you for taking the time. I appreciate you being here. There's so many different things you can say that let that other person know that you actually like really appreciate them taking the time to comment on your content.
Awesome. Yeah. And James does, he makes some phenomenal content. I mean, he's focused on the retail sector and, you know, he travels around the country and I've seen him do like a bunch of cool videos on different sites around the country and in like shopping centers and all these different other places. And so I'm sure, you know, engaging with people talking about, hey, like, well, how is everything going in your market? And, you know, what are some of the top spots to visit in your market could be a good one too. So if you follow James, you should definitely check him out.
That would be one thing that I would do. If you are visiting, I would see if I could set up. So like, I actually talked to Kyle and Sarah about this. I sent him a text message because it was just like this idea that I had in my head. It was like, how cool would it be if you were to get like a group of like five New York brokers, like the top brokers, and every month you go eat dinner at a different restaurant and you just sit there and talk about the brokerage business, you break bread, you know, it's like this whole like event thing, right? And I got the idea from watching a TikTok with Don Rickles and Robert De Niro and Martin Scorsese. They were at like some restaurant in New York talking about casino. And so it was just super fascinating that they're literally just sitting there breaking bread, talking about the experience. Now, how cool would that be to do that in your own community? Like, I get excited about it. I'm like, oh, that would be so cool. Set up some cameras and, you know, you've got, you know, a meal being served. And then with this, you go and you help market for that business. You're like, hey, we're going to be here at this location. Anyway, it's the whole marketing circle that goes on in my head. So
brilliant. Brilliant. No, you guys can, you know, that's a phenomenal idea. And you guys should definitely steal that if you can to try to apply it in your own market. Please steal it. And there's another one that I'm looking to do locally here. It's going to be a small business spotlight. So I got to work a lot with the retail owners. And so I'm going to start doing an interview with the different clients that I've had and kind of extract their origin story and talk a little bit about why they decided to start their business. And, you know, from a shareability standpoint, that's a huge thing as well, because, you know, people want to share and learn about their community, learn about different business owners that are in town. And so if you kind of become that local expert when it comes to that sort of thing, you know, it could be a good one too. So steal as many ideas.
And real estate. So like, residential real estate agents are obviously light years ahead when it comes to social media, but they do stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So why not steal that and do it for your business? Maybe you have a large corporation that's coming into town. Like, how is that going to affect the schools? How is that going to affect business? How is that going to affect the community at large? Talk about those things, because that's what people are interested in. Like, okay, so we have this 100,000 square foot industrial building that's now going to be filled with planes. I don't know. You know, we have this company, like maybe it's Boeing. Boeing's moving in and they're going to be manufacturing. Like, how is that going to affect what's happening in your community? And who's actually talking about it? It's not sexy. Like, not a lot of people are going to be talking about it. But go talk to the Economic Development Center and say, hey, how is this going to affect us? Interview them. It's just the idea of getting that content out there and really creating that community. Like, hey, you don't see us a lot because we're selling buildings, but we're here and we're bringing in industry. We're helping create jobs. It's, you know, kind of that little PR thing. Like, we're creating jobs. We're here for you.
Brilliant idea. That's awesome. All right. So next up is Heather. Hey, Heather. So he said, We got pushback in our company specifically regarding LinkedIn about the lack of authenticity and feeling like all the content is brag on me, look what I did. I countered that LinkedIn rewards community building. Can you comment a little more on the focus of building a true community and the impact it has?
So building a true community, when you're thinking about, you really need to think about the end goal. The end goal, obviously, and I always say this for everybody, is top of mind awareness. So when you're building that community and It shouldn't be about me, me, me. It should be about how you're helping your clients achieve their goals. So again, we talked about reframing. We talked about shifting that mindset. The challenge is getting people on board to realize that it's not a me, me, me. It's a mindset. It's a mindset shift. Wow, that almost came out bad. that's how you get them on board with you is like, okay, it's not about us. It's about our client. What did we help them achieve? What did we help them get? You know, what was their end goal? Did we help them get there? And then, yes, you share that story. You absolutely say, hey, we had such and such client that these were their challenge. Again, the whole cart idea. These were their challenges. This was the action that we took. Here's the result. And it doesn't have to have a specific call to action, like call us today if you'd like the same result. It can be, you know, if you're facing challenges like this, connect with us. We'd love to talk with you. It's about being that like authentic voice of, it's not a sales pitch. It's, this is what happened. This is how we helped. Do you have the same issue? Maybe we can help you too.
Great advice, really. And outside of that, like with well, not necessarily outside of that, but inclusive of that, I mean, pertaining to content creation, because that's another thing that I know a lot of people have concerns over or quote unquote have issues with, and that like, how am I going to come up with stuff on a regular basis? It's like, oh, well, I've already said what I needed to say this week. Like, how can I keep coming up with stuff? I guess, would you kind of use that exact same model and say, okay, well, let's use the CARP model and say, okay, you know, today we'll push out a post that focuses on this storyline. And then, I mean, I guess what advice would you give for the content creation piece?
For the content creation piece, I always ask people, what do you like to consume? Like, what do you like to read? I find myself reading stuff that I wouldn't ever think that I'd be reading. And then I model my writing after that. Like, what was it about this? Gabe Marin's actually at CREI Summit mm-hmm. talked about the hook. And that the hook is like the most important thing. Think about what your hook is going to be when you start writing a story. Whenever I think of hook, I always think of Bare Naked Ladies, the hook brings you back. Mm-hmm. That's always like in my mind as I'm writing something, like, okay, what's the hook going to be? And I know I shouldn't be saying this, but if you're having issues with your hook, put in the ChatGPT and say, please create 10 different click-worthy, eye-catching titles or hooks for the content that I am providing. Keep in mind my tone and style, and then see what it pops out. Don't do it word for word, but let it give you those ideas that you can't come up with. And then test it. Test what happens. If you're on three separate platforms, test a different hook on each of those platforms. See which one does best. And then for the next time, then you have an idea of what you should be doing.
That's amazing. And I appreciate the fact you shared that, you know, there's other tools out there that can help generate ideas as well. So like, if you don't necessarily know right off the top of your head what you want to create, maybe ChatGPT, like you said, you go there and kind of say, hey, come up with 20 ideas. And then from there, at least you have the thought process to say, okay, well, maybe we'll talk about this today. And obviously, if you can prompt it properly to kind of use your tonality and voice, maybe that could help you as far as augmenting your posting. So that's awesome.
So with regard to ChatGPT and having it create your own voice, what I found to be the most effective is creating a voice memo. You talking about a subject that you know, having it, turning it into a PDF, whatever, uploading it to ChatGPT and asking it, please. And I always say, please, I don't know why I'm always saying, please, ChatGPT and thank you. But like, please analyze this for tone and style, and then have it give you an analysis of what that is. Okay, great. Now create a LinkedIn post based on the tone and style of this, you know, of this transcript, and see what it pulls up. Caveat to that, I don't want to see in conclusion or in summary or any of the ending stuff like that. Take that out immediately. I know you've used ChatGPT if you do that. If you use the word delve or dive, take those out. Like, for some odd reason, I don't know if it's just mine. I have seen it on other people's posts, but it's like, what are you doing? Why are we delving into something? Or join us on this journey. That's another dead giveaway. Get rid of those words. Like, you don't need them in there anyway. So just a couple tips on ChatGPT and what to do.
It's a very formal way to end it. That's awesome. But awesome. So next up is Priscilla. Hey, Priscilla. She asks, not sure if I missed this. How often do you recommend to post? And should it be a mix of LinkedIn between video, photos, and or articles?
Well, I get asked this a lot. How often should I post? How often are you comfortable posting? I personally think it needs to be more than once a week. There are other people out there that say it shouldn't be more than twice a month. If you are actively engaging on other people's posts, meaning that you are providing valuable commentary, your content, regardless of when you post, will reach a wider audience because the platform knows that you are actively engaged and that you are spending time on there. You can't hit it and quit it. You can't post and ghost. You actually have to actively engage with those that are commenting on your content, as well as engaging with other people's posts. LinkedIn came out, I think it was in April. I have a post about it, that there is a golden hour. The hour after you post, you should be actively engaging, not just with the comments on yours, but with other people's stuff. And that's how they shifted the algorithm in April. So keep that in mind when you are posting, that you need to actively engage. Whether or not, so how many times? As many times as you're comfortable. I would say more than once a week, but if it's only going to be once a week, make it good. Should it be video, photos, or articles? So LinkedIn was prioritizing video earlier this year, and then they stepped back from that. So just keep that in mind. Photos always do really, really well, especially if your face is in it, which is why you're seeing more commercial real estate professionals post photos, leasing, whatever it is, with their face in the photo, because we want to connect. We want to see your face, right? So there's that. Priscilla, are you talking about writing articles? Or are you talking about making commentary on articles?
Sharing, she said.
Okay. So when you share the content from an article, just know that, as with any other platform, LinkedIn wants to keep people on the platform as much as possible. So they don't want people leaving the platform to go read something somewhere else. So try to share as much when you are sharing an article as you can about what your thoughts are, so that people don't actually leave. But I love sharing articles. I think newsjacking is one of the best things that you can do. Actually, that's a term I took from Beth Azor. So when you are making commentary about what's happening in the industry, in your market, it's one of the best things that you can do, especially if you don't have content like on your own. You know, taking something about like interest rates, or I don't know, baby seals. I don't know. Like it's kind of that, what we did in radio is, in our little town of Sierra Vista, there was always something going on. But so, you know, we always talked about national, like news was always a national thing, but national, we brought it to how it affected us. So Sierra Vista is a large military town. They have Fort Huachuca there. And so when something was happening with like Department of Defense, or something was happening with funding, we always took that national story and then brought it home. Why was it important to us? And so if you think about that from that perspective, like, how does this affect my client? How does this affect my industry? How does this affect the people that are going to be reading this? Always try to bring that personal portion to it. So when you are sharing articles.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I'll share something too that I think could help as well. you know, there's some of these publications out there like the Morning Brew or CRE Daily that send out these emails, you know, on sometimes on a daily, sometimes on a weekly basis. And they'll provide like graphs, which are pretty cool. I mean, and they follow different trends and they talk about different things. And so sometimes just taking one of those little graphs and saying, hey, here's what happened to the CPI over the last few months, and this is why it's important. You know, that could be a value, and you don't have to actually create the content. It's already provided to you in a short bit of short form. So, you know, I've used that plenty of times where, you know, I didn't necessarily have anything to post for that day, but I said, oh, okay, this looks interesting. And then I just kind of share a little comment on it and it's gotten engagement. So.
Right. And always remember to give proper credit where credit
Absolutely.
Is due.
Absolutely. No, 100%.
Yeah. Please give proper credit where credit is due. If you take a photo from somewhere, make sure that you are saying, this is where I got this photo from. And I'm not saying for like a news article, I'm saying like, if you can't link to it, so you right click and you save image as, and then you throw it up as your own, give proper credit where credit is due. That's
good practice.
That's what you should be doing. Yeah, it's good practice.
Absolutely. All right. So James asks, what was the most viral thing you ever posted and why? Good question.
In commercial real estate or in like my career?
How about both? There you go. One of these.
Okay. So not me personally, but Bob Knackles, was it the coin story? Was like super viral on LinkedIn. What I would consider viral on LinkedIn, it's close to 200,000 impressions, just that story alone. It's a story about how he got this coin, and then Harry Mackle called him and wanted him to sell 8 properties for him, and they sold for like $179 million. And the guy that he got the coin from, he sold those buildings to. And so he went and he got the coin engraved with, it said Mackle 2. And I never remember the guy's name, so I apologize. And then it has the date and the amount of the amount that the property sold for. And he actually carries that. It's his lucky coin. He carries it in his pocket. If you see him today, more than likely he'll have that in his pocket. So that went pretty, that had like close to, I think it's sitting at like 198,000 impressions. For me personally, and not personally, but for a company that I worked for, I had a meme that had 17 million views. So, and it was shared like 45,000 times. That was kind of it's very strange when something like that happens, because you don't think that, you know, anything can hit. And so then you like, your phone starts blowing up and you're like, oh my God, what's going on? Like, is the company blowing up? Like, am I fired? What's going on? And then you're seeing all the notifications come through. So yeah, that was the biggest, my most viral moment.
That's amazing. Oh, yeah, I can only imagine. I bet. Cause you start thinking, I'm sure you were thinking about it. It's like, oh wait, was that the right? Cause that's the, do you want that post to go viral? And you know, in your case, I'm sure it was, but. It's kind of going through your head.
Absolutely. And then trying to keep up on all the comments, because that's the other side of it. You have to respond. So you're spending, you know, 4 or 5 hours outside of work just trying to respond to comments as fast as you can. And if you're the only one that's running the page, then it's all on you, baby. Like it's you will sit there forever. And eventually you just have to be like, I'm done. Like I've answered like 500 of these. I'm good.
Yeah, you go to James' strategy. Just say thanks for the comment. Just kidding.
Yeah, appreciate you being here.
That's awesome. Well, we're running right up on the hour, so I want to be respectful of everyone's time. But first off, Mo, you provided so much value. Thank you so much for stopping by. It's awesome to hear that you also in Sierra Vista. That's a big, I'm just excited at the fact that we were able to kind of be in the same place at the same time. We didn't even know it,
right.
So that's really fun. For those of you guys who are wanting to get in touch with you to learn more about what you do and potentially engage with you in the future, what's the best way to do that?
So you can reach me on LinkedIn. It's I think it's just Mo Regalado. My website is movomediamarketing.com. That's MOVO mediamarketing.com. It's like, there we go. It's right behind me. My email address is mo@movomediamarketing.com.
Awesome. And we're going to be sure to include that in the show notes below. So if you guys are watching this on YouTube, it'll be in the show notes as well. And then also, if you guys are listening to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever medium you are, it'll be in the description and you guys can access that as well. So again, Mo, thank you so much for your time. We greatly appreciate it. Thank you all for stopping by. We do this every other week where we invite speakers from all across the country to continue to come back, continue to engage. And we look forward to seeing you all next time. So thanks again for tuning in and we'll see you all next time.
Thank you.
Bye.